Well, we're talking about, again, how to simplify our lives. And over the past few weeks, we've been looking at areas that God's been calling us to simplify. And so, on simplifying our lives, we looked at the areas of investing our lives, of surrendering. We looked at money last couple times together, how God wants us to manage our money and be free in the area of our finances. And this morning, we want to look at this area of priorities. Now, normally when you think about a sermon on priorities, you think about, well, he's going to talk about putting God first, then family, then church. And you know, you heard those, how many have heard those sermons before? And I started thinking about that, and there's good sermons in relationship to that and laying out those priorities, but as I began to meditate on this whole thing of priorities, I think many times we always will gear ourselves toward lists. We like a list, don't we? So we can check things off. If we have a list, we're good. If we have to think, we're not so good. And I want to tell you, God wants you to think. I'm not going to fill in all the gaps for you this morning. I'm going to give you some insight into one of the most familiar scriptures that you've ever read in the Bible. And we want to turn it on its head, and we want to look at it maybe in a little different light. Now, I don't even have to open my Bible. You can to Proverbs 3 if you want, but verses 5 and 6. Most of you can say this from memory. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. How many know that one by memory? You learn it in Sunday school? A lot of you. So our goal here, the reason why we're going through this series, is we want to regain God's order and peace in our lives. Now this week I had a weird thing because, you know, and we've got a wonderful doctor, a chiropractor, that I did the marriage for the couple, and a lot of you in the church I know go to him. And I don't usually go to him because I was the kind of guy that really, he would go and he would try to work on me, and he'd go, boy, you're tight. Nothing would ever move. You know, and I was just always kind of uptight. So I said, this really isn't working for me, so I kind of backed out. It works wonderfully and helps my wife and my daughter tremendously. All of a sudden this week, I hit where I had a rib out. And then I found out Mary had the same side rib out. So what did we do? We didn't do anything, did we? I don't know. We live on the same street. Ooh, conspiracy theory. I was in pain like I had not had in a long, long time. And so I went to him. And now, some of you believe in chiropractic and some of you don't. And this isn't a lesson on chiropractic. But when I did his wedding, I preached a little message called marital subluxation. Now, subluxation is the term for chiropractic that has the theory that if you get things aligned, then your whole body will work well together. And so I talked about how in marriage you have to keep things aligned. And it was kind of a cute little sermon, I thought, you know, for marrying a chiropractor. So I was really out. And there was, you know, I heard the rib go pop, and then the pain moved. And he goes, well, that's quite different. You must be very unique. I said, yeah, I think so. So we were going through all this, but I had to get things in order. And I have a twinge, but I don't have the pain anymore right now. And so praise God that when we get things in order, whether it's in our bodies or in our spirits or in our lives and the practical things, we get peace in our everyday life. And so that's what we're trying to do. And so we're looking at that text, and there are key words that pop out of this text. There's the word trust, and there's the word lean, there's the word understanding, there's the word acknowledge. And we're going to look at four things in this verse. We're going to look at the action, something we have to do, the object, that we do something that's directed toward an object, towards something, the extent of how we're to do it, and the agent, either the agent that engages in that activity or the agent that is changed through that activity. So everybody with me? So we're looking at four things: the action, the object, the extent, and the agent. And I thought about this as I meditated on this message. There were, from these simple verses, two verses, there's four profound points, and we're going to look at those. The action, again, the agent, the object, the agent, and the extent. I thought, if we really did this message, and if I really did this message, then, boy, all of our lives would be perfect, really, if we could master these two verses. Think about it. If we were staying in the center of God's will all the time, then we would not go through any struggles because His grace would meet us, His mercy would meet us, His provision would meet us, His healing would meet us. We'd go through difficult times, but we wouldn't lose it. We'd go from victory to victory. But what happens is we get off course in our lives. Anybody here been off course before in your life? We all have. And in areas of my life right now, I'm off course. And in areas of your life right now, you're off course. I thought about, well, how do I get the message to people how important fellowship is and how important reading your Bible is, how important prayer is? Well, if you just do what these two verses say, God will show you. My job will be easier. God wants so much to speak to you. As I was in my devotions this morning, I'm in the book of Job right now, and also the book of, just finished the book of Philippians in the New Testament. And in Job, I've been listening to Job speak, and I've been listening to his three miserable friends speak. And that's really an adventure. So the three miserable friends are trying to tell Job everything that's wrong with Job, all the sins he's committed, and that's why you're in the mess you're in. And Job's saying, no, 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 I didn't do it. You know, I helped the poor. All the things you're telling me I didn't do. And who was right? Well, Job was really right, because if you read the book of Job, he didn't go through what he was going through for anything that he overtly did. God said he's blameless. Well, there was a young man, listen to this, young people, because sometimes God uses you in ways that, you know, I thank God. We're in those teenage years right now in my home where everything's black and white. There's no gray. And praise God for that. Can I just say praise God for that? Because, you know, what we tend to do is we tend to forget that there are black and white issues, and we make everything gray. And we need the youth to call us back to that pure desire in our lives for things and for the Lord. And so here's this young man, his name is Elihu, and he's sitting there listening to all this, and he's not saying a word because he's just a young guy. I mean, you know, who's going to respect him? I remember when I was a young pastor, the youngest pastor on the block. You know, I struggle with that. I used to read 1 Timothy all the time. I was 23. I'm not the young pastor on the block anymore. And so sometimes God will speak to you. And Elihu held it in, and he didn't say anything. And finally he spoke, and he basically was saying in his first address to Job, God is always trying to speak to you. Job was complaining that God's not speaking. I'm asking, but God's not answering. I'm calling out, but God's not there. He's not speaking. And Elihu said, first of all, Job, God is always speaking. And I want to tell you that this morning, that God's always speaking. The trouble is, are we hearing? Because many times He's speaking through things that we're rebuking. And we need to just step back and listen. God's always speaking. The Bible says, today, if you will hear His voice. Not today, if He happens to speak. Did you just hear what I said? It says, today, if you will. That tells me that He is speaking, and it's up to me. It's like right now, every single radio station in the Metroplex that can be received in the city of Weatherford is pulsating through this building right now. And if we had transistor radios right now, and each one of us had a different station, and we tuned into it, we would hear all the stations because it's in the room. But you have to tune into it with a receiver that can hear. You don't feel it, do you? Whoa. Oh, no, that wasn't it. You don't feel the radio waves, but they're here. Every single one. There's country. There's rap. Yeah, yeah, that's for Mitch. Cowboy rap. I challenge you, Mitch, to pray and develop a cowboy rap for the next men's fellowship. Okay, so let's look at these two verses. First of all, in the first part, the first action is trust. God calls us as His people to be people of faith. Now, the word trust in the Hebrew is the word batach. And it means to have confident assurance in, to be safe and secure. It has this idea of totally leaning with the whole body. In Keelan Delitzsch's commentary, it says, it's as if you're leaning the whole body. Now, right now, I'm leaning partially on this cross, but I'm still leaning on this foot. The whole idea is, if you can picture it, is if my daughter was up here and I was just holding her and she put all her weight on my arms and she was putting all of her weight and trust that I would not drop her. That is what the word in the Hebrew means, putting your full weight upon something. Are you with me? That's trust. It's not putting one foot in and one foot out. It's not putting 50% or 60% or 75%. It's 100% invested in faith. So trust is the characteristic word. This word used in Proverbs 3 is the characteristic word in the Old Testament. It's used 152 times. It's the equivalent word for the word faith and believe in the New Testament. So whenever you read that word trust, and it's that Hebrew word batach, it is talking about that characteristic of confident assurance of putting everything on the line. So we trust, but what do we trust? You have to have an object you trust in. And the Bible calls us, and this is all Christianity 101, isn't it? But we have to trust in the Lord. But here's the rub. Even though that's so obvious, trusting in the Lord, you can trust in yourself. You can trust partially in the Lord. How many do that? I know I do that. I trust in the Lord up to a point when I take over. He doesn't come through in time. The prayer isn't answered in my timetable. The circumstances don't work out exactly the way I've scripted them, and then I take it back. Okay, God, I gave you 6 weeks. 6 weeks and one day, I'm taking it back. And I take it back. So we trust in the Lord. And to what extent? All. Now, here's the key. You can write in number... under extent, you can write the word all three times. You've already filled in letter C. Because we're going to look at the word all completely cements these verses together. Trust in the Lord with all, and what are we to trust Him with? With all our heart. Now the word heart in the Hebrew is the word lev, L-E-B. It's the inner part of man. It's the soul. Now, in Jewish thought, Jews believed that man was dualistic. Let me explain that for a minute. They didn't have the concept of the trifold nature of man that we see in the New Testament. To the Jewish person, there was the body and the soul. And the soul encompassed what we as New Testament believers understand as the spirit and the soul. And so Paul talks about the spirit, the soul, and the body. The spirit being the inner man, the soul being the mind, the psuche, our will and emotions, and the body, well, being the body. But to the Jew, it was all together. And actually, it still is all together. Even though we can take a chalkboard and we can draw, if we drew three circles, let's just take that as one and one and one, like a body, soul, and spirit. We can draw them on a chalkboard. How many know that you can't divide them in your daily life? There's only one thing that can divide those two things in your daily life. What is it? No, the Word of God. Death too. Death does it. But that, yeah, death and the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce between the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It can discern between the soul and the spirit. So we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Now here's the rub. This is how we run into troubles in trusting the Lord. We don't engage the right entity. We start trying to trust God with our mind without engaging our heart first. And when we start to try to trust God with our mind, it's very quickly that our mind begins to question God's faithfulness. Question His faithfulness, His timing, His promises, all these things. And then we hear that whisper at the side of our ear, just like Adam and Eve heard it yea, hath God said? Come on. It's not coming. You've been doing and praying for this for years, and it's not coming. Can you imagine what Abraham went through when he was 99 years old? After he had been praying for 24 years, believing God's promise for a son, and still that promise was not there. And it was on the 100th year that he conceived, actually Sarah, of course, and had his son. 25 years he walked in faith on a promise that he didn't realize, but the Bible says he believed God and was reckoned unto him for righteousness. He threw everything he had into that deal. God told Abraham, you're going to be a father of many nations, and I want you to leave your people now, pack up your bags and follow me, and I want you to invest everything you are and everything you have into this deal. And Abraham said, I will follow. And he did. That's faith. So if we could really trust, throw all of our weight upon the Lord, Yahweh, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we would do that with all of our innermost being, then we would find direction. We would be able to arrange our priorities. And here's why it needs to stay dynamic. Because life is dynamic. If you have static principles that you try to apply to life, they don't work all the time, do they? Your circumstances right now this morning are not my circumstances. And what you're going through is so unique to you and so unique to what God is calling you to become that you must have dynamic principles and a dynamic leading of the Holy Spirit in your life if you're going to break through into what He has for you. It can't be a cookie cutter approach. I can't give you a list. This is the way you do it. You have to seek God with all of your heart. Okay, the next thing you need to do is you need to lean not. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. First of all, let's look at that thing, lean not. The word lean means to lean for support. So here's the difference. Right now I'm leaning for support, but watch. I didn't fall over, did I? Why is that? Because I'm just kind of leaning, kind of take the weight off, but I'm not casting myself fully upon this cross. I'm keeping back part. So in case I let go, I'm still okay. That's what leaning is. It's different than faith. I'm doing a little bit with God and a little bit with me, and it says we're not to lean. The action is we lean not, and we don't lean on our own understanding. Now, listen to what Matthew Henry said in his commentary. He says, those who know themselves cannot but find their own understanding to be a broken reed, which if they lean to it, will certainly fail them. The word understanding and knowledge and discernment in the Bible talks about this is the essence of everything that we are to seek in our life, the wisdom of God. Understanding. The Bible says in Proverbs, if we find that, we find things better than gold and precious rubies. Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. Understanding is learning how to walk in His principles and following Him in obedience to enter into the things that He's called us to. But when we go along the way, if we begin to fill in the gaps before we seek them with all of our heart, and we begin to lean to our own understanding will cut us short from God's perfect will each and every time. Each and every time. Karen and I have found, and I've shared this so many times, but it bears repeating, that when you're going through difficult times in your life, especially financial times or directional times or whatever it is, that you need to talk with each other, listen to each other, and pray with each other and seek the peace of God in your hearts together. That's how God protects you in your life as a married couple. When you don't do that, you make some serious mistakes. Karen and I have made our share of serious mistakes, and I'm not saying this for any other reason, but just to be honest, most of the reasons we've made those serious mistakes have been my fault. Because in my life, I heard some women say yes. Okay, you're not supposed to gloat. The Bible says also, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. So, but it's because I didn't listen to Karen. And because we didn't pray about it. Because I felt in my gut, I came up with a creative idea. I can come up with creative ideas all day long. That's what I do in my consulting. Creative idea generation. That's my job. People say, what do? I create ideas. Marketing. And I can market myself in the name of the Lord right out of the will of God. Did you hear me? Because my own understanding may look slick, it may sound good, I can package it up, I can sell it, but if it's my own understanding, it's going to lead me out of that trust position whereby my provision comes. So the Bible says, lean not. The object is your own understanding. So I can't throw any weight on what I think. Why? Because I have such a limited perspective. I don't see tomorrow. I don't even see today. I don't even see lunch yet. Do you see lunch? I know some of you are thinking about it already. It's getting about that time. But I don't see it. And how many ever have been so excited about lunch only to be disappointed? Anybody been to Five Guys Burgers? It's pretty good, isn't it? South Lake? So I've been to Five Guys Burgers, and you know I love burgers. So when I was in Washington, D.C. a couple years ago, I decided, well, that's the home of Five Guys Burgers. I'm going to the maiden ship. Right? So I got my GPS out. I found the maiden ship of Five Guys Burgers, and I went to where it all started, and I was so disappointed. It was terrible that day. See, our own understanding will not lead us into the things that we think many times. You know, we set up all these scenarios, and we only disappoint ourselves when we lean to our own understanding. What's the extent? Again, all. We have to reject all of our own understanding. Because it's all tweaked by our flesh and by this world. The Bible doesn't say, walk after the Spirit along with your flesh. It says, die to your old man and walk fully after the Spirit. It doesn't say, trust in the Lord with some of your heart and then on sometimes lean to your understanding. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean at all to your understanding. Just let it go. And what's the agent? Your ways. Now, here is something in the verse I want to show you. Look at that phrase, in all your ways. In all your ways is a revolving door. And a revolving door can either take you in or kick you out. Anybody ever been kicked out by a revolving door? You know, I hate those now they got them in the airports. And sometimes you're grabbing bags and something, and then someone's not moving as fast as you are, and you start getting that revolving door, and I had my bag almost caught in one of those revolving doors. They can take you in or they can kick you out. The word in all your ways is that revolving door. It can take you into God's provision, it can kick you out. If you trust in the Lord in all your ways, with all your heart, it'll take you into His provision. If you lean to your own understanding, it'll take you out. So you have a choice. In all your ways, trust Him with all your heart, or in all your ways, lean to your understanding. I don't care if you lean to 5% of your understanding and 95% of God's wisdom, you're going to get kicked out because that 5% is going to undo you. Just that little 5%. Well, Kirk, I don't know what God's calling me to do. I don't either. But praise God, He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His mercy. He's given us the body of Christ. He's given us the gifts of the Spirit. He's speaking. He's calling in the multitude of counselors. There is safety. And when we seek the wisdom of God from His Word and by the Spirit and from counselors that are godly men and women, we hear His voice. So what do we need to do? The Bible tells us the action is we need to acknowledge. We need to acknowledge. The word in the Hebrew for acknowledge is the word yada. It means to learn to know and perceive. And it has this idea of knowing and learning by experience. I love that because you know something? When it says acknowledge Him, I don't know how to do that perfectly. Do you? I mean, I miss it sometimes. Have you ever really felt that you had heard from the Lord only to realize that you had filled in the blanks and you didn't really know you had done that? I mean, sincerely now. I'm not talking about you were just like saying, I'm going to do my own thing and I'm going to put a God stamp on it and just try to tell Him, it's yeah, this is what I'm doing. But you really, you prayed it through. You sought godly counsel and then you ended up on the wrong path and you didn't. Why? Because we know in part. We hear in part. We understand in part. Thank God He doesn't call us to acknowledge Him without any error. He calls us into this relationship of learning how to hear His voice. Now, when I first got married, I didn't know what to expect, and Karen didn't know what to expect. Now I just get a glance and I know what to expect. Because I know by experience. One time on a ferry boat going across, I think, some lake. I don't know if we were in Michigan or where it was. Both Hannah and Karen were in a chair, and I did something stupid, and they both gave me that glance that let me know. I've got a picture of it. It was so cute. So isn't that true when you've been married for a long time, or you've worked with somebody for a long time, or you've been in a relationship for a long time, you kind of are able to fill each other's sentences out? That didn't happen overnight. Hannah and I, we're kind of weird. We joke around and get goofy. Sometimes Karen goes, I feel like I'm on the outside looking in because we'll complete each other's sentences. All of a sudden, I'll start laughing, and she'll start laughing, and she'll say, what? I say, oh, no. She says, say it. I said. She said, that's what I was thinking, you know. And it's kind of like, but that's knowing by experience. The more I listen to God's voice and the more I take steps of faith toward Him and the more I see His hand of mercy and grace, the more I get tuned in. It's kind of like that radio station when you're first tuning in and WKAP, you know, you just get it finally. You're back and forth on the dial. And then you hear. And what a wonderful thing it is when you begin to hear His voice. He says, acknowledge me. Learn to know me. Learn to distinguish my word. Learn to distinguish the moving of my spirit. You're walking along and you feel this prompting. Go up to this person and just say hi, you know, and just greet them. And you do it. And they say, wow, no one's ever said hi to me before. And you go, that was the Holy Spirit. Oh, wow. And you do little things and then you see God connecting them. And you go, oh, that is God. And you begin to learn how to hear His voice. You acknowledge Him. Hebrews 7, 4 verse 7 says, today if you will hear His voice. See, He is speaking. John 16, 13 to 14 says, the Holy Spirit will come and He will guide you into all truth. And what's the object? You need to acknowledge Him. And what's the extent? In all. All. Everyone say that with me. All. Not the detergent. The extent of everything we're called to do. How much did Jesus give you when He died on the cross for you? How much does He give you every day when you call upon His name? And what does He ask of you? All. You know, I saw this sign. Local church, I'm, you know, not criticizing the church or anything, but the sign just kind of bugs me. It says, salvation, 100% discount. I thought, you know, what? Salvation cost everything. And it cost you everything. Not by works, but by surrender. And then finally, the agent is our paths. I like this. It says, if we'll acknowledge Him in all our ways, then He will direct our paths. The word direct in the Hebrew means to make straight. To make clear, straight, right, pleasant, and prosperous. The Bible talks about the coming of Jesus. And John the Baptist said that He will make the path straight. You know, you can go somewhere and you can take the rabbit trail, or you can go somewhere and take a straight trail. And God comes in to make the way straight, to make the way clear, to make the way even and level so you don't trip and fall. He comes to shine His light upon your life. He'll direct your paths. The word there in the Hebrew means a well-traveled road. So here's what God is saying. If you will lean fully upon Me with all of your heart, your innermost being, and if you will not lean on your own understanding, if you'll place that on the altar and not go back to pick it up, and if in all your ways you'll begin to learn how to hear My voice through My word and by My Spirit and through the body of Christ, and as you seek Me with all of your heart, then I will make your way straight and I will make your path prosperous. I will lead you into what Doug was sharing, those places of healing, those places of restoration. And finally, here's a scripture I was trying to find in the prayer room. I forgot it was in my notes. Isaiah 30, 21 to 25, it says, "Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, you will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornament of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing." Did you hear that? He's going to direct the paths, and as He does, we're going to be getting rid of our idols. "And the ornament of your molded images of gold, you'll throw them away as an unclean thing. You'll say to them, 'Get away.' Then He will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground, and the bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. In that day your cattle will feed in large pastures. Likewise, the oxen and the young donkeys that work the ground will eat curd fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and the fan. There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of water." So here's what this whole Christian life's all about. He's clearing the rocks out of His path. His path is our heart. And He's trying to make it straight. So as we learn how to acknowledge Him, as we go through, all of a sudden we start divesting. You know what divesting is, right? We divested in Hannah's room a little while ago when we remodeled it. We got to divest it again. But you know what I'm talking about. We went in and there's so much stuff. You've done it in your home, spring cleaning. You look at all the stuff you don't need that you're just hauling around, it's causing weight. You say, "I'm going to get rid of that." God says, "Okay, get rid of that." It's when we get to the place where we're willing to let God divest us so He can invest us in His grace in a deeper way. Paths are made straight. Provision releases into our lives. And so some of us are in that place of divesting right now, and it's painful. It's painful. When I laid on the table in Dr. Fisher's office, and he did his magic on me, he put these pads on my back, and it was making my muscles jump all over my back. And I have a pretty high tolerance for pain. I was laying face down in there, and I'm going, "I don't know if I can." I was going to cry like a baby. It's not easy to go through those times. When things are out of where they need to be, and God gently, because He doesn't come in with a sledgehammer, the doctor, and go, "Whack, whack, okay, see how that feels." He comes in, and He begins just to, first of all, He just touches my back, starts going, "Okay, okay." And then He begins to push gently. See, God doesn't break a bruised reed. He doesn't quench the flax. It doesn't mean there's not pain involved. And when you allow Him to realign your life into His purposes, provision flows. Now listen, one last point. Because I've been here. And in some areas of my life, I'm here right now this morning. Say, "Well, Lord, I thought that's what I was doing." You ever ask that question? Said that to the Lord. "Lord, I thought that's what I was doing, and now I find myself in this place. what in the world is going on? And that's where faith comes in. That's where the call, you got to go back to the first part of the verse again. That's where you have to trust Him with all your heart. Because I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. But we do have the call to trust. And when you hang on to Him, He will see you through. Three Wednesdays ago now, because of snow and the ice, and I shared this on Wednesday night, but for those of you who weren't here, little Blythe, Dee and Hallie's grandson, came and sat on my foot. And he's, what is he, 3 years old? 3 and a half? Sat on my foot, held onto my leg, and I just drug him around wherever I went. And he was just giggling, and he was having the time of his life. And I got in trouble for that by my wife, by the way. But anyway, dragging him like this, dragging him like this, dragging him like this. Said, you shouldn't have done that after you just had a knee operation. Yeah, you're right. But I'm dragging him like this, and I'm just looking at him, and he's just loving it. He's going all around. And so we're doing the teaching that night, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke. We're talking about faith, and God said, just like Blythe, cling to me. Enjoy me. Laugh in the journey, even when there's pain, because you know, weeping may endure for the night, but there's what? Joy in the morning. In the morning. How many want morning right now? Yeah. Final word. Listen to the whole verse. This is just a part of it. I think it is the whole verse here. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Let me just stop right there. None of us does this perfectly. I don't do it perfectly. I probably do it worse than most of you all. But let me tell you, God looks at our effort and He honors our heart. When you have a small child and they're trying to learn how to ride a bike, do you beat them up when they fall the first time, or do you pick them up, kiss their boo-boo, and get them back on the seat? Okay. If you were the other one who beat up, you know, you need to kiss the boo-boo. God's not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So here's my last word to myself and to you. We need patience. Endurance is needed. Because if we don't lose heart, we will reap in God's due time. Be not weary in well-doing, for if you do not lose heart, if you don't lose heart, you'll reap a harvest. So let's pray. Lord, each one of us so wants to get the priorities in our life right. But just like when I went to the doctor this week and didn't know what was wrong with my back, so as we come before your throne this week, we don't know what's wrong with our path. We don't know where to start. We don't know how to begin. We don't know what to divest and what to invest. We don't know the next step to take. And your call to us is the same from point A to point Z. Trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. But in every way, in all your ways, get to know me. Get to know my voice. Get to know my people. Get to know my spirit. Get to know my word. And I will direct your paths. I will direct your paths. I'll make them straight. I'll make them prosperous. If you will lean on me with the fullness of your heart. So Lord, help us to do that this morning. We need grace and mercy to be able to do that this morning. There's no way that we can even take that first step by grace, and there's nothing we can do to earn it. It's by grace, and it's by the blood of Christ that we come to say, Lord, we ask you to cleanse us and forgive us for all the times we lean to our understanding. Right now, forgive us. Would you just receive right now the forgiveness of the Lord for that? Just right now say to yourself, I am forgiven through the blood of Christ. And there is now no condemnation because I am in Christ Jesus. Say that to yourself right now. There is now no condemnation because I am in Christ Jesus. So we bind the enemy's attacks and his accusations. And now, Lord, release us into the adventure of learning how to cling and trust and seek with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. For you will direct our paths. In Jesus' name, amen. Altar prayer team members who are here, would you come forward? Let me tell you, every journey begins with a single step. And if you're here this morning and you've never taken the first initial step of asking Jesus Christ into your heart and life to be your Savior, you need to make that step this morning and come up to one of these couples and ask them to lead you into that understanding and that prayer of salvation. They're up here also to pray for you, whatever need you may have. There may be something that just kind of like was brought to the surface this morning and you just want to agree with somebody, then come and let them pray. But will you stand with me, and will you receive the blessing of the Lord this morning? And will you go then have a good lunch and enjoy fellowship with each other? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. Go in the love and in the joy and in the direction given by the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.